I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth, stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ, I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, the Lord's Gin. This is the Terry and Jesse Show. Terry's off today. He's off doing some apostolic work. But I got my sidekick, Paul Clay, retired lieutenant, Los Angeles Sheriff's Department. Also served our country honorably in the Air Force. Right, Paul?
Yes, and the Coast Guard. Good.
And the Coast Guard.
Good job.
Paul, welcome to the show, brother. Got a lot to talk about. We're going to chew the fat here. First thing I want to do, we start off in the Terry and Jesse Show. I usually start off with the gospel of the day, and I want to get your take on it, your reflections. I got something to say on it as well. Today's the feast day of St. Andrew the Apostle. St. Andrew, pray for us. I'll talk a little bit about his incredible way he died and what an inspiration he remains to us to this very day. But today's gospel, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, we're starting Advent. The word Advent means coming, or the coming of the presence of Christ, the coming of Christ. So today's gospel, it reads, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. Casting a net into the sea, they were fishermen. He said to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Paul, you know what? We all know that when Jesus calls us, and by the way, you recall when you were baptized, whether you know it or not, that's when Christ chose you. But then we've had people have, as they're growing in their faith, it's called an interior conversion, and where you know God is calling you to something greater than yourself. And here we have the Apostle Andrew, who was the first one to be called, and Peter. Both these brothers died a horrible death. They died crucified, which is a horrible instrument of Roman torture. And in fact, for those of you that don't know about the story of St. Andrew, let me share with you, because talk about inspiration. This is written by, back in the 13th century, by Blessed Jacobus de Voragini. He was a historian back in the 13th century. He writes this about St. Andrew. He said, while the saint was being led to a cross in Patros, Greece, a great crowd gathered shouting, Andrew's an innocent man. Andrew, an innocent man, is condemned to shed his blood without cause. The apostle Andrew, however, begged the crowd not to save him from martyrdom. Then seeing the cross in a distance, St. Andrew greeted the cross and said the following quote, Hail, O cross, sanctified by the body of Christ and adorned with his limbs as with precious stones. Before the Lord was lifted up on you, you were greatly feared on earth. But now you draw down love from heaven and are accepted as a blessing. I come to you, assured and rejoicing, so that you may joyfully accept me, the disciple of him who hung upon you. For I have always loved you and yearned to embrace you. O good cross, honored and beatified by the limbs of the Lord, I've long desired, constantly loved, ceaselessly sought, and now prepare for my wishful heart. Take me away from this world of men and return me, O cross, to my master, that he, having redeemed me by means of you, may receive me from you, close quote. Having said these words, St. Andrew shed his garments and gave them to the executioners, who fixed him to the cross as they had been commanded. For 2 days, St. Andrew hung there alive and preached to 20,000 people. On the third day, the crowd began to threaten the proconsul, Agius, with death, saying that a saintly, gentle man should not be made to suffer so. And Agius, the proconsul, came to have the saint released, and seeing him, St. Andrew told him, why have you come here, Agius? If you seek forgiveness, you will be forgiven. But if to take me down from the cross, know that I will not come down alive, for already I see my King Jesus awaiting for me. When the soldiers tried to free him from the cross, they could not even touch him because their arms fell powerless at their sides. St. Andrew the Apostle, pray for us. Paul, that's a man that understood his calling, and he understood, you're always quoting the famous Protestant missionary Jim Elliot, who was killed in Ecuador, Quito, Ecuador, by the natives for preaching the gospel as he understood it. What does Jim Elliot say, Paul?
He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose.
Amen. And that's exactly what we see here with St. Andrew and St. Peter.
And, yes.
You have any comments?
I think, when we look at this example, we have to remember that during the first advent of Christ, he came as the suffering servant. He came here to suffer and to die for the sins of his people. And guess what, Jess? He died for the sins of the world. But guess what, Jess? We in the mystical body of Christ seem to forget that because we are now the mystical body of Christ, our place in this world is one no different than the place of Christ when he came 2,000 years ago. And that is to say that we're here to suffer. We're here to join in, you know, in redemptive suffering, you know, for this world. It's unfortunate, but that's why, you know, the Catholic gospel is such that, you know, we have the fullness of the faith. We're not like, you know, the name it and claim it, you know, health, wealth and prosperity gospel that's preached, you know, in large part all across America. And it's sad. I mean, not every non-Catholic Christian out there ascribes to that, you know, that type of theology, but nonetheless, it's a huge mistake. What do you say?
That's right, Paula. And I mean, sometimes people will say, well, you know what? But I thought following Jesus was easy. No, it's not easy. It's Mm-mm. it's not just saying a quick prayer and that's it. One and done. Yeah. Our Lord says in Luke 9:62, Jesus said this, quote, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Close quote. Now think about this. Working the field as a laborer is very difficult. I don't know personally, but my ancestors know, my relatives from Mexico, my mom and dad, they tell me it's very difficult, back-breaking work. I can imagine. It's arduous. It's painful. And guess what? The Christian life and the follower of Christ fully realizes this, and yet we embrace this. Why? Because we know that we were made, as C.S. Lewis says, we know that we were made for another world. And because we know that, we're able to, you know, come what may, whatever life throws at us, we know that what awaits us on the other side of eternity is beyond, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and the mind can't even conceive what God has prepared for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. But in the meantime, Paul, a lot of people think that the Catholic Church is going to be perfect. No, it's not. The Catholic Church is the true church, but it's like Noah's Ark.
Yes.
How was Noah's Ark? Very uncomfortable inside, full of animals, crowded. It was smelly, but guess what? Being in that ark with a bunch of smelly animals, it sure beats being outside, in the sea of chaos and confusion and shark-infested waters. I mean, this was the metaphor that St. Cyprian of Carthage used in the 3rd century. He says the Catholic Church, he says, is basically, you know, it's this battleship on the way to heaven. But outside the Catholic Church, boy, oh boy, take your pick. You can try to get to heaven swimming through shark-infested waters.
Yes, yes. The church is both a divine institution and a human institution. And the human, therein lies the problem, the human aspect of it. To the extent that we trust Christ as human beings is to the extent that we will, live a virtuous and demonstrate a virtuous life.
That's right. And I'll tell you, The Catholic Church is the one true church of Jesus Christ, but it's not the perfect church, because the church on planet Earth, it's a hodgepodge of saints and sinners.
Yes. Well,
our Lord told us, he says, the church, the kingdom of heaven and earth has weeds and wheat.
That's right.
It has good fish and bad fish. He says it has sheep and goats, but he says they all have to coexist together. He says, and don't try to pull them apart. He says, because at the end of the time, the angels are going to do the harvesting at the close of the age. They're going to do the reaping. They're going to separate the weeds from the wheat at the close of the age. It's not our job is to evangelize. Our job is to be holy and let the Lord do the separating when that day comes.
Right, because we don't know, if you look at my life at a snapshot in time, you're going to say, man, that Paul Clay, he's not, he doesn't practice what he preaches. But the reality is come harvest time, the true wheat are going to, it's going to be evident, because, obviously the wheat's going to give forth fruit and versus the tare will never produce fruit.
That's right. And so remember, when people say, I'm going to leave the church, there's all kinds of scandals. Here's what I'm going to tell people. I will never leave Jesus Christ because of a Judas or two or three or a dozen Judases. I'm not going to leave my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for an apostle that's fallen short of his high calling.
Amen.
Hey, listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, I got Paul Clay here. We got some good stuff. We'll be talking about the fact that 30% of Democrats believe the election was stolen, and much, much more. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And if you're having the Monday morning blues over the elections and stuff, let me be honest with you. Politics is not the be-all and the end-all. Our goal is Christ. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guess what? Before November 3rd, Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On the day of these sham elections, which I believe will be exposed, Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And tomorrow and forevermore, Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, regardless of what happens after these elections, Paul, regardless of what's uncovered. And let's realize that if you've been dejected by the donkey, if you've been a little depressed by the elephant, guess what? I tell you to turn to the Lamb. He will never let you down.
Amen. Hey, listen, I'm thinking back in history, and I'm thinking about the Battle of Lepanto.
Mm.
It was a real battle, Jess. People died, but they were engaged in a real battle, but it was also a spiritual battle. Right.
Both.
And so likewise, here we are as Catholics, we understand that God is calling us to be separate and to live a holy life. But at the same time, he sent us out into the world. And, he said that we are the salt of the earth. Right. And as salt, we are to be a preservative. We are to make things more salty. And so, we're not called to just hunker down in our house, but we're called to go out and make a difference in this world. And that's, I think, in light of this election and in light of what's going on and what we see, we can't stay silent. We have to speak out.
If we stay silent about the gospel, Paul, even the rocks will scream.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I want to look at this one article. It says, poll, 30% of Democrats believe the election was stolen from Trump and apparently are complicit in a criminal conspiracy unparalleled in history. Here's something, Paul, that it's very evident to me. One of the things that we know about the devil, as the New Testament tells us, there are three things that he does. He deceives. Check that one off. That's what we're seeing here in these elections. There's mass deception that went on. Second thing we know about Satan that he does in the New Testament, he lies. Amen. Check that one off. There's a whole lot of people lying here, Paul, and covering yep. up. Third thing you know about the New Testament, about the devil, is he steals.
Check.
A whole lot of people, Paul, here that are involved in this, in trying to steal this election. And if you want to go even and further than that, also, what else did the devil do? He destroys. Okay.
Right.
We're seeing here this through political action, they're taking away the sacrament that gets people to heaven. Through political action, through political fiat, we have again this one particular party that's legislated the death of innocent babies. Paul, the devil has superimposed himself entirely upon the political system in this country.
Yes, he has. Listen, the Bible in sacred scripture tells us that we in Christ shall receive power and the Holy Ghost, right?
Amen.
God gives us the power in order to be able to resist the evil one. If you're out there and you're not living a supernatural life, you're not living in a state of grace, you have no power. And so basically, it's sad to say, but as the people in the world have moved away from God, Jess, they've moved away from all the virtuous teachings of God, then they're left to you basically they're their own morality. And the Bible That's says dangerous. Clearly, the whole world is under the power of the wicked one. And that's what we see, exactly like you said. He steals, he deceives, he lies. And that's exactly what you see happening in this, I believe, in this election. There's no doubt about it. Everybody has to realize when you turn on the news, I mean, we've all been beaten up for the last 4 years. It was anti-Trump, 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 anti-Trump. And yet, he's the most pro-life president that we've had in, I think, in the history of this country.
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And Paul, this article essentially says, let that sink in. It says nearly a third of Democrats believe the election was stolen from Trump. That's I find that very refreshing that people could look at their own party and be critical, examine from within and say, yeah, this was wrong, what happened, and this can't happen again. This can't happen. We can't allow this to happen. This will turn our country into a banana republic. I'm glad to see that people in the Democrat Party have that self-reflection to be self-critical. And just like I respect Catholics, Paul, that say, yeah, there's corruption in our church in many places amongst people, not the doctrine, not the pure doctrines of Christ, not the holy sacraments, people. There are some bad people in our church. We have to be honest and be able to be, we have to be able to criticize ourselves, or we're just being propagandist.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not so sure though, you know, that was Rasmussen, I believe. Right. But whatever the poll was, they may believe that the election was stolen, but how many of them are complicit in that? You know, how many of them say, yeah, we stole it, or yeah, we believe that. So, and that's what happens when you move away from God and you move away from the goodness of God. Your truth barometer, Jess,
is broken.
It's broken. Exactly right. And you know, there is no more truth is relative at that point. There are no more absolutes. It's always wrong to lie. It's always wrong to steal. Well, when you take God out of the equation, then it's situational ethics. Is it wrong to lie? Depends.
Depends.
I mean, you know,
situation.
and you know as well as I know, it's always about the end justifies the means with them.
Right, which is not a Catholic proposition. That basically goes against St. Paul in the book of Romans. I think it's chapter 2, and it goes against Catholic philosophy. The ends don't justify the means. Absolutely not. If that was the case, then you could justify communism and Nazism because, you know, they're trying to do something good, so to speak, according to them, by creating this perfect world, this perfect utopia, the perfect human race. Paul, I want to move on to another thing. It talks about here, another article, It says a huge corrupted software used in Michigan County that stole 6,000 votes from President Trump is also used in all swing states, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Minneapolis.
Yes, I listened to a podcast by a guy named Scott Goulet. It's called Front Page. And in it, he lays out exactly, listen, and this was, by the way, recorded on the New York Times' website. After the election, the day after the election in the state of Georgia, President Trump, systematically 16 times lost votes in increments of 4,800. What are the chances of that? Exactly 4,800. And not only did President Trump lose in increments of 4,800, Biden gained in increments of 4,800, but Trump lost in increments of 4,800.
They couldn't even cheat properly.
They couldn't even cover
their tracks.
Well, yeah, exactly. It shows that there was obviously some type of algorithm or something they plugged in there to systematically take 4,800 from Trump and apply 4,800 to Biden. And there's no other logical explanation other than voter fraud for that. And guess what? They found out that they did the same thing in Pennsylvania. But in Pennsylvania, it was multiples of 6 or 12,000, but it did exactly the same thing. Biden gained multiples of 6 and 12,000 every time, and Trump lost multiples of 6 and 12,000. This is the kind of fraud we're talking about that the media says there's no evidence of any fraud.
Coincidence? I don't think so, Paul. It's interesting that the software, the inventors of the software to steal this election, or to steal elections, by the way, because they've been using the software Dominion in communist countries for decades now, and that's how they've been. Bolivia, Nicaragua, this is how they've been fixing the elections in some of these communist countries in Latin America. The word dominion is very interesting. It comes from the Latin word dominus, which means Lord. Very interesting. Lord software. Whose Lord are they? What Lord are they talking about? They're not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ with a capital L. They're talking about the lowercase Lord of the underworld, Satan, because Satan is all about deception. He's all about lying. He's all about stealing as well. And it's funny, they call this there was a couple of computer glitches. Wait a minute. All these computer glitches that have been uncovered always resulted in swapping votes for Joe Biden and against President Trump. I mean, I could see one or two computer glitches, Paul, but every single state where this happens, it always goes one way. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and guess what, Jess? This Dominion software, and these all the states in question, the swing states, they're all using the same software. They're all using the same voting machines. That's not a coincidence. And listen, if we're going to believe what God has to say, the whole world is under the power of the evil one. That's either true or it's not true. You know, Paul Clay didn't say that. Word of God said that. And so if God is telling us ahead of time that the world is under the power of the evil one, then the only way that we can expose this evil, is to, again, live a holy life, to be in prayer, be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Paul, and that's why we need holy people to run for office, to be honest with you. I see a good young holy man or woman, young adult, and they've got a good head on their shoulders, they have a strong faith life, a strong prayer life, but they also have this political bent, I say you need to really think about moving into the political sphere, because God can use your faith-driven politics and do some amazing things, because again, it's a breath of fresh air to see a lot of these young conservatives, Paul, running for political office.
Right.
Because they're seeing that the old guard, the Nancy Pelosi, the Chuck Schumer, guard of politics, Paul, they are all about the almighty dollar, as St. Paul says. The love of money is the root of all evil. All these old guard politicians, Paul, they went into office probably, I'm going to guess, with good intentions when they were young, but they've become filthy multi-millionaires as a result of their many connections, and they've lost sight of what they were there to do.
Oh, yeah. Listen, our whole system, the way it's set up with the lobbyists and things like that, it's almost like it invites people to be corrupt. And when you have no morals, no morality, you know, then you're open for the highest bidder.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Paul Clay, Jess Romero.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Have faith. Stay happy. Stay strong. St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God will hear our prayers. And just be honest here, Paul. Don't think for a second that God is sitting on the throne right now saying, oh, no. Joe Biden's about, he could be president, and Kamala Harris could be vice president. Oh, no, I never foresaw this happening. Oh, no, communism is creeping into America. It's creeping all over the West. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 2 that God from heaven looks down upon the earth at evil men. And you know what the Bible says he's doing? He's laughing. That's what the Bible says. God is cracking up. He's laughing. Because they have no idea what's around the corner if they don't repent and get right with Jesus. Every one of us, I don't care if you're a senator, Supreme Court justice, or a president, you will have an exit interview with Jesus. And you know what? A lot of these people that are causing these problems, Schumer, Pelosi, Biden, they're old men. They're old women. They got their foot... They're around the corner from their judgment. I pity their ignorance, Paul. There's another good website here that has a lot of good information. It's called exposelockdowns.com. Exposelockdowns.com. And it's just got some good stuff that I want to share with the audience. Paul, you got any comments?
Yeah, listen. The rulers of the earth gather together against the Lord and against his Christ. Is that what it says in Psalms? It does. And guess what? We are the mystical body of Christ. They're gathered together. They're circling the wagons because the ruler of this world knows his time is limited. Okay. And that's why it's so important for us Catholics to flee, to the church, to stay in the church, to stay under the mantle of the Blessed Mother, right? In order to live a life that is pleasing to God in this world.
Amen.
Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, this one article, and I'll just basically take what Paul just said and just apply to the article. It says, the truth and common sense about lockdowns. It says, this isn't the safe thing to do. People are dying. Businesses are dying. Politicians and news media are killing the country with fear. I think fear, there's an acronym. It goes false evidence appearing real. And that's what I would call the COVID-19. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a virus. I get it. But Jesus Christ says in Matthew 10:28, don't fear those that could kill the body. Don't fear this Wuhan communist Chinese virus. Fear only God who can destroy the body and the soul.
Amen. The sacred scripture says fear is of the devil, period.
Amen.
You know, we're either of God or of the devil. We're people of faith, and faith and fear do not stay in the same room.
Amen. And the Bible says about 366 times, do not be afraid or do not fear, or words to that effect. That's a constant refrain, a golden thread that weaves from Genesis to Revelation. And the article says people are dying from lockdowns. This isn't safe or nice by any means. The pandemic pushes hundreds of millions of people towards starvation and poverty. This one article says COVID set to cause 400,000 surge in TB deaths as medics diverted.
Yes.
It says they know the lockdowns are causing and will cause millions of deaths, but they try to guilt you into feeling bad for wanting to return to normal. Are they trying to kill us?
In short answer, Jess, yes, they are. Listen.
Just look at Bill Gates in his own words on YouTube.
That's right. His own words, you know, he says basically we have about a billion people too many on this planet. Okay. And we all know that there's an elite group of people out here that think that the resources on this planet are limited such that, you know, it all comes, you know, all of these things, Jess, they, you know, it's a symphony. It all comes together. Eugenics, you know, it starts out with Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger and, you know, and let's look at those who are really worthy to live versus those who are not, you know, and all of this stuff just synthesizes in basically it's going to result in worldwide communism, no doubt.
Paul, eugenics was a philosophy of Adolf Hitler. That was his intellectual philosophy. And yeah. He thought that Jews needed to be eradicated. They were rats that were bringing diseases to the Germans. Yeah. And eugenics was a philosophy of Margaret Sanger, who says that basically blacks are human weeds, unfit weeds. Yep. And we need to exterminate the Negro. And so Bill Gates is also a eugenicist. OK,
well, there it is right there. Birds of a feather flock together. And, you know, like I said, Satan isn't even hiding anymore and people refuse to see it. You know, the majority of those babies out there being aborted today per capita are black and brown and poor whites. You think that's, you know, do you think that is by design, Jess?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you why, because one of the things that we do know about the father of lies, because the devil's the father of communism and socialism and the eugenics movement. He's their father. That's their dad. And the eugenics movement, again, they just believe that those in power, the elites, the earth movers like Bill Gates, George Soros, they call the shots and they want to determine who should be allowed to live and who's unfit to live. And yes. So all of this is part of this whole scheme, Paul. This whole, again, this whole, the catechism talks about the heresy of trying to build a utopia upon earth by human ingenuity apart from Christ. That'll never happen. The perfect society is the city of God that's in heaven. And right here, we're basically in the kingdom of the devil. That's what Jesus Christ says. My kingdom is not of this earth. Okay. And the fact is, you have people that are faithless and godless people that are trying to create the perfect world here on planet Earth. And that's going to mean that you have to eradicate those people that are unfit to live. And they're going to determine who's unfit, by the way.
Right. They want the kingdom without the king. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to basically it's the Tower of Babel, Jess, all over again. Mankind, when he comes together. And we know that the number of antichrists is 666, six being the number, you know, that's the day God created man on the sixth day. This is man basically turned into a monster, you know, where he believes he can then, you know, usurp the position of God. By the way, isn't that exactly what Satan said in the garden? Oh, God knows that you will not die. He knows that you'll be like him. And that was the subtle lie. What? I can be like God. He's trying to keep that away from me. And so man is trying to achieve, you know, he's trying to deify himself. And that's exactly what Satan tried to. And that's the Luciferian philosophy, by the way.
That's right. That's right. Paul, the article says mainstream news already admitted the lockdowns in many areas have increased. First check, suicides. Second point, obesity. Third point, depression. Fourth point, domestic abuse. Fifth point, domestic homicides. Sixth point, child abuse. Seventh point, missed cancer screening. Now, does this sound smart to you? Of course not. Lockdowns are killing more than just businesses and the economy. They're killing people. But do they even work? No. This article has a good graph where it shows that some of the worst countries by death per capita are countries where they've had major lockdowns. And so it doesn't work when you look at the numbers, Paul.
Yes, they're not trying to make it work. Listen, We've already heard him say they're trying to tear it down. Before they can build it up, they have to tear it down. And that's exactly what you see here. They know that these things are destructive, but they don't care. They're trying to tear down society as we know it, so that once we become so miserable, it's like I use the illustration again, when 9/11 occurred and fear set in, people willingly gave up their rights, you know, with TSA and everything. And, you know, in the beginning, they protested about it. And then after a while, now you go to the airport and basically everybody's getting their rights violated. Right. And they're doing it with a smile. Well, they understand that fear and chaos and all of these things, you know, it makes the world ripe for change. And this is what they're saying. They want change, and they don't want change towards God. We already know they've rejected God. They want to move more and more towards an atheist humanistic worldview again, which is worldwide communism.
Yep. And what you just said, it's if somebody wants to see where this is backed up from, it's around the catechism, what Paul Clay just said, paragraph 675, 676 and 677. I'll just mention one thing that as Catholics and Christianities, all of us know that there will come a time where a person called the Antichrist will come into the world scene, who will be basically the revivification of Caesar Nero, but much more evil, much more powerful. It's not going to be a local power. It'll be an international power. He's just not going to have a power just in one locality. And I'll tell you, but this one person is also going to be backed up by an Antichrist system. So he has to set up that Antichrist system before he comes into power. Guess what's happening right now? The Antichrist system is being set up with, again, this lockdowns, this move towards socialism and communism in many parts of the world, the rejection of Christ, the persecution of the church. This sets up the Antichrist system. And then phase two, then the man of perdition, the Antichrist, comes into the world scene, who apparently has all the answers now. I'm going to fix the problem.
As man with the master plan.
Yeah, exactly. And people are going to be looking. We want a problem fixer. Please, please. We can't take it anymore. We'll do anything. And just like you said, Paul, there's not going to be much pushback because people just want to be left alone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's amazing and at the same time exciting because, you know, we also know how it all ends, you know, you know, the process, you know, is painful and can be painful as it was for the first Christians, you know, under Caesar. Like you said, there was immense persecution. And I think, Jess, we can expect more of the same right now. I think that as we move more and more toward this system of the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, we're going to see the church begin to be persecuted more and more and more, or at least the remnant, I'll say. You know, there may be a false manifestation.
We'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
What would the Blessed Virgin Mary tell you if she would speak to you right now into your soul through a locution? She would say in John chapter 2, verse 5, do whatever my son tells you. Amen. That's what she would say. Do whatever he tells you. And what does he tell us? Come follow me. He didn't say it would be easy. He says, count the cost. Count the cost. But it's going to be worth it when it's all said and done. Paul, I want to just wrap up on these lockdowns. I'll tell you, the people that are enjoying these lockdowns, these billionaire tech companies, they're making hand over fist, Paul. And the small businesses, they're the ones that are basically going to lose in the long run, because a lot of them they're never going to be able to regain, their little mom and pop operation. They just went broke, and I think it's evil the way all these big tech companies, they're allowed. In fact, they're making more profits right now than they ever have during this lockdown, and the small guy, they're getting crushed. But these politicians, without a doubt, Paul, they're getting kickbacks by this, you know, by these big tech companies. So, yeah. You know, for these elites and these small, these big tech giants, guess what? The rules don't apply to them. They make up their own rules. And the lockdowns don't affect them a bit. But I'll tell you one thing, Paul. The Lord says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And I'll tell you, one of the worst sins that you can do, according to Catholic social teaching, is paying your labor an unjust wage. In other words, screwing over the little guy. And let me tell you, Paul, there's a lot of people right now that are screwing over the little guy, and they're going to have a lot to answer for at their particular judgment. Your take?
Yeah, Jess, this is their plan. This is exactly their plan. It's the same thing when they try to nationalize politics and take it away from local power. You know, if they can control, if companies like Amazon, led by Jeff Bezos, you know, can basically dominate and put all the little local mom and pops out of business, then they can control literally all the commerce. And that's exactly part of their plan. They want to collapse our economy. They want to fundamentally transform how we do business, because it's all about control. And as long as you have central control, then you can basically dictate to the world whatever you want.
That's right. And I'll tell you one thing, that there's going to come a point in time, Paul, just like a civil war, like we had a civil war in our country, where people are just going to push back. They're going to say, we're done with these lockdowns. We're done with these masks. We're done obeying these unjust laws by these oligarchs. And we're going to see basically a revolt of the little guy, because they're just pushing us too far. And, you know, everybody has a breaking point. And I'm telling you, I think if Biden wins, if he steals this election, Paul, I think we're going to see the breaking point with a lot of Americans. They're going to say, I'm done with this, following these unjust laws that are man-made laws that are basically, as you know, our Lord says, traditions of men, you know, putting on a mask and taking 6 feet apart. Talk about a tradition of men that nullifies the word of God.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, Jess, this is a huge power grab. Okay, there's no doubt about it. They're basically giving it their best shot right now. And this is why it's so important. The Supreme Court is so important. And this idea, if you notice, Biden said, you know, when he was running, he was not going to answer the question on whether or not they were going to stack the Supreme Court. Well, let me answer it for him. If he gets into power, why do you think they're pushing, by the way, for control of the Senate? Why do you think President Trump is getting ready to go down into Georgia to campaign for those senators down there? Because this, you know, if Biden becomes the president and if he controls the Senate and the House, he will fundamentally transform this country. And I can guarantee you, one of the first rights to be eroded, and you mentioned it earlier, the Supreme Court defended the bishop in New York and his lawsuit that says it's unconstitutional for them to limit how many people can attend church. Well, guess what? You stack the Supreme Court with a bunch of Biden plants, and guess what? That right is no longer going to be recognized. And by the way, neither is your Second Amendment right either.
That's right. In fact, talking about good news, this one article says Supreme Court overturns New York church restrictions. Brooklyn bishop says religion essential during pandemic. God bless that bishop. It says the Supreme Court said Wednesday night that New York state restrictions during the coronavirus pandemic are a violation of the First Amendment protection of the free religious exercise. After the ruling, the Bishop of Brooklyn, whose diocese was the plaintiff in the suit, said that religious worship should be considered an essential during the coronavirus pandemic. Here's what the bishop said. It is time, past time, to make plain that while the pandemic poses many grave challenges, there is no world in which the Constitution tolerates color-coded executive edicts that reopen liquor stores and bike shops, but shutter churches, synagogues, and mosques, close quote.
And casinos, I might add.
Casinos. Yeah. And Planned Parenthood, by the way, too.
Yeah. Listen, let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
That's like saying God, you know, we're debating whether or not God is an essential, Jess. In him, we both move and breathe, the scripture says, and have our being. God is an essential. Okay, there's make no mistake about it. You take God out of the equation and nothing exists.
Oh, wow. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. We're dependent beings on God who depends on nothing. He's self-subsistent and within himself.
Yes. Yes.
Paul, I'll tell you one thing. And here's where President Trump, you know, promises made, promises kept. He promised to appoint conservatives to the Supreme Court because he knows this is where the left has used the Supreme Court liberals to change the face of America. And look at just look at what Justice Neil Gorsuch, he's a Trump appointee. Here's what he said. He wrote in a concurring opinion on Wednesday night's decision, what I just read to you, that it is past time to make plain that while the pandemic poses many grave challenges, there's no world in which the Constitution tolerates color-coded executive edicts that reopen liquor stores and bike shops, but shutter churches, synagogues, and mosques. So that was the opinion that was written by Justice Neil Gorsuch, who was appointed by Donald Trump, President Trump.
Thank you, President Trump. Thank you, Justice Gorsuch.
Yes. And again, so this bans the restrictions on religious worship that were enacted by fake Catholic New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Okay.
Right.
Paul, an apostate Catholic, a lukewarm Catholic, is worse than a non-Catholic in many. They have a real like anti-Christ bent when they become lukewarm Catholics. And by the way, for those people that say that Joe Biden's a practicing Catholic, he's on YouTube the other day. He called the Book of Psalms the Book of Palms.
Mm.
Now, what Catholic, if you go to Mass every Sunday, you'll hear responsorial psalm. So you know that the S is silent. If you go to Mass, you know that P-S-A-L-M, you know the S is silent. If you've been ever since Joe Biden is 80s, he just called it it's on YouTube, the Book of Palms, which tells me this, Paul, tells me this. He doesn't go to Mass on Sunday. Even a nominal Catholic knows that the S is silent, Paul.
Yeah, listen, you said it. If you are lukewarm, Jesus said, I will spit you out of my mouth. And guess what? That's exactly what people need to know. Because to whom much is given, Jess, much is required. And, you know, so they're, you know, Catholics who are lukewarm, you know, they're exposed to so much, you know, grace poured out, you know, even whether or not they're in a state of grace or not, by the fact that they go to Mass and they hear the word proclaimed and they see that the representation of the death of Christ.
Yes.
They're without excuse, Jess.
Yes, absolutely. And you got people praying for them. And they got that sacramental construct, so they're able to receive those prayers, those intercessory prayers.
Yeah.
They're going to be held to a higher standard, Paul, than the non-Catholic, than the pagan, than the Eskimo, than the bushwhacker, than the indigenous Indian in the tropical rainforest.
Yes. How about the Archbishop in Washington, D.C., who went on record saying that he was not going to deny Joe Biden Holy Communion? What do you think about that, Jess?
That's horrible, Paul, because this guy is like, again, he's the most prominent cardinal in the United States because he's a cardinal of Washington. He just got the red hat, by the way. He's a cardinal now.
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something, Jess. To whom much is given, much is required. I would hate to be him on Judgment Day, Jess. And I'm not judging him. You know, the word of God will judge him.
You're judging his actions.
That's right.
His heart. Only God knows his heart. Well, Paul, I want to thank the president because also this 5-4 decision against that was rendered against Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York. It came down 5-4. And guess what? It was Justice Amy Coney Barrett. She was the deciding vote. And because she's the lover of Christ.
Because the doctrine lives loudly in her, Jess. Amen. Doctrine lives loudly in her. Yes, Dianne Feinstein, I hope you're listening. The doctrine lives loudly in her.
And I'll tell you what doesn't surprise me is that Chief Justice John Roberts, who supposedly is a Catholic, he sided with the three liberal judges in the dissenting opinion. I have read in another article that the reason Justice Roberts, again, the reason he decides on a lot of these close cases, he decides with the left, is that they have them compromised. Now, whenever you hear the word compromise, that generally means, that's in street talk, Paul, and cop talk, that means they got you dirty with pictures or something else. You know what I'm saying?
They control you, in other words.
When they got you dirty, yeah, you're their puppet. So that's a wrap, Paul. We're 10-7. We're out.
Okay. Just like the song says, I'm your puppet.
You've been listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Terry will be back tomorrow. He was out doing some apostolic work. Terry, that man never ceases to amaze me. He's got he's like the ever ready bunny, just you know, Duracell battery, just keeps on working for Christ until he drops dead. But
Let's keep Terry in prayer.
Yeah, we need Terry for a long time. Trust me, we do. Well, God bless you. Keep the faith, and remember what Saint Father DePio says: pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God hears our prayers. What we need is trust. And also, don't forget, we're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Pray your rosary every single day. Read your Bible every single day. And visit Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament as often as possible. God bless you. Keep the faith.